Hey, everybody, I'm Pastor Shannon Williams. You are now watching the KTF podcast. That stands for Keeping the Faith. We defend the faith and we stand for truth. That's what we do. And so if you have come to this page, you've come to this podcast, and you're a believer, you're not a believer, but you're curious, you want to know what's going on, you want to know what's going on in the world around us, you want to know what's happening with the Bible, the church, and all kind of subjects in between, that's what you're going to get here on the KTF podcast. Tonight, I'm really pumped up. We've got an opportunity to talk about a subject that not a lot of people want to discuss. It's called division. Division in the church. And it is a major weapon that the enemy uses against God's people. So you see, if the devil can't stop the church, if the gates of hell can't prevail over the church, then what is he going to do? He's going to try to stop the work of God by bringing in division in the church. Now, we see this all throughout the Bible. We see this all throughout Scripture. People in the church, even in the New Testament church, they're having disagreements. They're having back and forth. Some are over here saying, I follow Paul. You know, I follow Barnabas. This is my allegiance. And so Paul says, look, no, we should follow Christ. He should be the leader. He should be the example. And so even in the church, you know, there was a time when Peter got rebuked because he acted one way around one set of believers, the Jews, versus another set of believers, which were the Gentiles. And so different things happen sometimes. But I think we should be able to work out our differences as brothers and sisters in Christ. But what we see is a wedge that has been brought into the body of Christ to completely destroy the progress of the church. You see, if the devil can keep the church fighting each other, it can't focus on him. It can't focus on the real enemies, which is the demonic, which is winning the souls for the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel, seeing men and women's lives changed. If we're focusing on fighting with Karen, fighting with Susie, fighting with Tommy over here back and forth about frivolous items and things that don't really matter, then we're not focused on really doing the work of God. How many churches would you say are actively involved in winning souls versus how many churches do you know that have a customer service mentality? Show up, you serve me, the pastor, the leadership team, you serve me. You're here for me. Instead of saying, we're here for each other, we're here to grow, we're here to be trained so we can go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so I got some stuff that I want to share today, so we're going to dive right in. So let's look at this separation. I believe division is all about separation. Separating people, creating a chasm, or there's a word in the Bible that says schism, creating a schism in the body, which is separating people from being in unity, in agreement, in one mind, one accord, blessings of God. The Bible says in Psalms 133, how good and how pleasant it is that brethren dwell together in unity. No wonder the enemy would fight against unity. Because if there's unity, the blessing of God, in verse 3 later on, it says that's where the blessing of God will flow, upon unity. And so a wedge can be drawn and pushed in between people. This is what we would call discourse, or sowing discord. Someone who sows discord. It's a contest or a quarrel. Okay, so a contest, that's like a boxing match. You got two people, two opponents, they come in, they're in the ring, they're fighting each other. But their real enemy is out there. They shouldn't be fighting each other. They should be in agreement. They should be in unity and say, we're going to attack the real enemy. But the enemy deceives Christian folks, church folks, to believe that the person on another aisle is their enemy, using gossip and jealousy and envy and strife to bring about divisions in the body. I believe this is a major weapon that the devil uses today. All right. There are over 200 denominations, major groups of denominations in the United States. But all over the world, there's over 45,000 denominations all over the world. This is just in Christianity. This is not religions. This is denominations inside Christianity. Okay, so I can't even wrap my brain around 45,000 different groups. That means you got 45,000 different interpretations, 45,000 different ways to think about the gospel, 45,000 different rules or groups or organizations. No wonder we can't get unified. I mean, you got Baptist, Independent Baptist, Southern Baptist, First Baptist. You've got Primitive Baptist, and you got Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist. You've got Episcopalian. You've got Pentecostal, Holiness, Oneness. You've got Apostolic. You've got the Church of God. You've got Assemblies of God. You've got churches. And okay, so and this is all here mainstream, right? So then you jump over here, and then you got Catholics. Catholics, and you know, I kind of put them in their own category over here. So then you got a lot of different beliefs inside the Catholicism. You know, some that are a part of this group. I know there's a charismatic Catholic group that believes in the gifts of the Spirit. And so, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, in reality, it's exhausting. It really is. If you were outside of the church and you were looking in at the church and you were saying, hey, I don't know about this church stuff. I think I'd like to explore and look at it. Let me see what they believe. Let me go and do a Google search. Let me look it up online. What are you going to find? You're going to find that we really have so much division that you can come up with any explanation about any scripture, and they have built a denomination around it. Why is that? Because the church, truly, if it's unified, it cannot be stopped. So we need to stop division. Pastors, denomination leaders, quit isolating yourselves behind the wall of your denomination. Quit saying, if it's not in my denomination, it's not right. Quit saying, we're the only ones that have the interpretation of Scripture accurate. Stop doing that, okay? There are not walls and sections in heaven that says, okay, this is the Church of God section, that's the Baptist section, this is the Presbyterian section, and, you know, For ones like us, you know, we're non-denominational, you know, and then we got our little non-denominational group back here in the back. That's not how it works. You know, we're going to be together in heaven. You know, we're actually going to sing songs together and worship God around the throne together. Is that going to be upsetting to you that you've divided yourself against all these other denominations your whole life? How are you going to feel if you're sitting beside a Baptist while you're worshiping? How are you going to feel when you're sitting beside a Pentecostal? For those of you that live the chosen, frozen generation of faith people, you know, it's a cold, dead religion. How are you going to feel when you got somebody beside you rejoicing, celebrating, hands up, praising God, shouting unto God? How are you going to feel? You're going to feel weird? You're going to feel at home, you know? I mean, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be celebrating Jesus. I think and I believe that the mission of Christ is the most important thing of all. What did he say? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. I think we should make disciples. You may disagree about how to make disciples, but the first thing we should all agree on is that without Christ, without a cross, without a death, without the blood, without the burial, and without the resurrection, there is no gospel. We should be able to come together on those facts and upon that doctrine. I don't care if you're a continuationist, a cessationist, it doesn't matter. I don't care if you're an Anglican. I don't care if you're a Calvinist. I just, none of that matter. I'm a Reformation. I'm this, I'm that. Sit down and be quiet. Just, are you a disciple or not? Are you a disciple of Christ? I mean, we got to ask ourselves, do we really follow what Jesus says, or do we follow what John MacArthur says? Do we follow a man? Do we follow a man's teaching, or do we follow the word of God? All right, so I want to go to the scriptures because it's always good to go to the scriptures. So Proverbs 6:14 says this, "Frowardness in his heart, and he devises mischief continually, he sows discord." So whoever sows discord has mischief continually, and frowardness, that's wicked and evil, it's in his heart. So if someone's sowing discord, if someone's sowing division in the church, right, that means there's something bad behind it. If my goal is to separate you from somebody else, that means I am, especially if that thing is good, healthy, and a blessing, I am trying to rip something away from you. That means my intentions are bad. So that's the scripture. Then you go down in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, says this, "These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Here they are. Here's the list. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies. And here's the last one, and I do not believe this is the least one in any way. "And he that sows discord among the brethren." Sowing discord. That's a quarrel, a brawling, or a contention. It's a fight. If you are sowing bad seeds to get people to fight each other, if you are aimed, then you are working in sowing discord. But I didn't agree with the deacon. I didn't agree with the elder. I didn't agree with the pastor. Your job is not to come and bring about destruction. Your job is to come with a loving and pure heart. Your job is to show up and say, "Let us reason together. Can we come up with something that works, that is a solution?" But what happens? People get emotional. They get irrational. They make decisions based off of feelings. They say things that they shouldn't say sometimes. And what happens is churches get into brawls. Churches get into fights. There's a struggle going on. And there's several reasons for that. And I believe the enemy is behind it. I believe the devil is truly fighting the church to try to keep the church from growing, from multiplying, and from taking territory. So Romans has a word for this. Let's look at the book of Romans 16 in verses 17 and 18. "Now I beseech you, brothers, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Ding, 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 ding. Here we go. Mark them that cause divisions. And then later it says, and avoid them. The word mark here is explained. And this is the original Greek. It's the word skopeo. Guess what this word means? To take aim, to watch, or to spy. It's where we would get our word scope on a rifle. You focus in on a scope, you focus in on a target, you focus in and you watch and you make sure. And you, this is what we're supposed to do to them who are causing division. There is no room. I want to make a statement right now. There is no room in the body of Christ for someone who is solely purposed in causing divisions. They need to leave. They need to leave. Gently, forcefully, doesn't matter. They need to leave. You cannot entertain someone who is trying to cause division in a church. It is not right. It is demonic. It will destroy people's lives. And so how many times have we seen it? Church splits. People getting this uproar about something. I've heard of preachers coming in, preaching the gospel, preaching a message. We don't like what he's preaching. We don't like this message. We don't like this. We're going to vote him out and go around and rally people together to try to make people angry at the pastor who's trying to preach to win souls. How is that righteous? How is this godly? How is this building people at all? And so we're supposed to scope in on those people and mark them. Watch them, mark them, keep them away from your people. I had a phone call today from a pastor who needed some advice. There's a person in their church. Everybody that gets around them, they end up leaving. Every person that gets close to them, they end up leaving the church. And they're saying, I'm trying, I'm doing this, I'm trying to help win them, I'm trying to help do this. But what they're doing is they're asserting so much control over the people that they're like, we don't want nothing to do with it. And so they would just rather not be at church than to be at church. How crazy is that? If you love God, you should want to go to the house of God and serve the Lord. I believe that there are people who are serving themselves more than they're serving God. Their thoughts aren't about Jesus. Their thoughts about how they feel. Their thoughts about how they think. Their thoughts are self-consumed. But the Bible says, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. That's the first action, denial of yourself. Then you can pick up your cross and follow him. See, I think it's a false conversion for people who cannot deny themselves. They cannot say no to themselves. And so we end up running into situations where people, I believe, they never got saved. And yet they go to church because they've been told that's what they should do. They've been told that's the right thing to do. And they've never truly had an encounter with God. All right? So scopeo. 1 Corinthians 1:10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There's a lot to unpack with this. I am begging you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, let us come together and speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Do you know, even if you disagree, you should still be able to speak the same thing? I love you. I want to support you. I'm here that you may grow. We should be saying that to each other and mean it. Like, who wakes up in the beginning of the morning and say, let me see who I can tear down today? I really want to just rip another Christian to shreds online. Just please, God, open my Facebook page so I can go out there and destroy people for what they believe. I'm telling you, that is not of God. I don't care how many ways you spin it. He says he wants us to be perfectly joined together. That means we're going to join in with people in places, and we're going to fill the gaps. We're going to fill those gaps. We're going to help balance each other. When you're strong in something and I'm not, you help balance me out. When I'm strong and you're not, I help balance you out. We're supposed to come together. We're supposed to fight for each other and not tear each other down. I've got three reasons for division, three solutions for division, and three root causes of division. Now, I think we're going to get a lot out of these. Y'all ready to go? All right, here we go. Listen, if you're watching right now, I want you to let us know where you're watching from. And if you've got any questions, throw them out there. If you want comments, put your comment out there. We want to read your comment. We want to see what's going on with you out here in social media world, all right? So here we go. Three reasons for division. You say, what's the biggest reasons why people in the church are combative, right? Number one, doctrinal error or the interpretation of Scripture. How many denominations are like, I believe this Scripture says this. No, I believe this Scripture says that. How many times have we, even on this podcast, have had disagreements about what a Scripture meant, right? How many times have we actually had guests that had a differing opinion? We've had that sometimes. You know, it is possible to disagree with somebody, right? But I think this is a very, very big difference, because we got a lot of folks that are interpreting the Bible and they interpret it in a different way. And where we go wrong is that we begin to attack the people who are actually on our team. Yeah, you might not interpret that Scripture, but I shouldn't hate you for it. Right. I should love you enough to say, I disagree, maybe we can still be friends, maybe we can still talk, but that is not what that scripture means. When I've had people disagree with me, they've called me a false prophet. Oh, you don't agree with me? You're a false prophet. Look at you. You're a liar. You're this or you're that, you know? And I'm like, oh, so you disagree with me because so I'm false? I mean, there's no other way around this. Like, can we reason together? And so a lot of times it's doctrinal issues, doctrinal things that go wrong. Now, I agree there are some things that we cannot let go. I'm going to tell you, if you say Jesus was not born of a virgin, I'm going to have to say, sorry, Charlie. That's where we definitely disagree. Because if there is no virgin birth, then Jesus's father is not God himself. It's not the seed of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he is not perfection. He doesn't have perfect blood, and his blood can't be sufficient because it takes the perfect Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. We have to come to agreement with that, right? We have to believe that Jesus actually died. We have to believe that he rose from the grave. We actually have to believe in the resurrection. We cannot question those things. All right. So those have to be, we can't compromise on those things. All right. So number two, a second reason for division is offense. I got offended. Therefore, everybody's my enemy. Everybody at that church is my enemy. Everybody, the pastor, the worship team, the worship leader, everybody, they're all my enemy because I got offended. Now the scripture says it's impossible to go through life and not be offended. So we better figure out how to be offended and work through it, okay? And I've got some I got steps that we can solve some division if we'll go through them, but offense is going to happen. I just want you to come in agreement with me that offense is coming. If it hasn't shown up on your doorstep yet, it will show up on your doorstep. And then the third reason for divisions, these are major ones. Of course, there's 100 reasons why. Conflict and strife over control. You'd be surprised about how many people in that church want to have control over how things are done. I don't like the way the music is. I don't like the way the program was laid out. I don't like how the service was set up. I don't like how it was preached. I don't like the song order. I don't like how we did the serving. I don't like how we did the food meal and the fellowship meal. I think we could have done this better. I think we could do that better. It's just, you know, the color of carpet, I'd have picked something different. The paint color, I would have chose something different. And so there's 100 different things that people fight over, but what does it all come down to? It comes down to control. And you got to be very careful with control because control always is tied to a Jezebel spirit. If Jezebel's spirit, man or woman, doesn't get what they want, they're coming after you. You don't agree with me? You don't let me do what I want in this ministry? I'm coming for you and your job. You will now receive a post every day, every other day, once a week about you because I'm coming for you. That's a Jezebel spirit. Instead of coming to somebody and actually doing the way the Bible says, if I have aught against my brother, I should go to him. Instead of doing that, I retreat and I go and make public blast about that person. I want to say this. If you're making public statements about a person and you're not willing to contact that person about them and you are trying to hurt them or take down their character, you're doing it wrong. You're not biblical in that. Okay. All right. Three solutions for division. Here we go. Number one, humble yourself and pray. Humble yourself and pray. This is a solution. I think that we would have less division if we would have more prayer. Right? I think if we would humble ourselves, we would have less division because instead of saying, I know everything, you could say, possibly I could be wrong in this. Possibly I could have this in error. Right? But it's all about how we approach each other, and we should approach each other when there's a disagreement. We should approach each other in respect and love. Number two, communicate. We have to communicate if we're going to have a solution. You cannot ignore somebody and think it's going to work itself out. Healthy communication, healthy dialogue, that's what it's going to take. And number three, it's going to take, this is one of those F words. It's going to take forgiveness. You're going to have to forgive somebody, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know how it came across. You don't know. Maybe I do and maybe I don't, but I can tell you this. Unless we start doing the principles of the Word of God, which is forgive, we're never going to actually be forgiven ourselves. Let that check you for a minute. I can't forgive that person. How many times have you heard someone say that? I can't forgive them for what they did. Then you're saying that I cannot receive forgiveness for what I've done. Because if you can't forgive others of their trespasses against you, how can God forgive you of your trespasses against him? It's not right. It won't happen. It's a principle. It's a biblical principle. And we got to mature and we got to grab these things. And then three root causes of division. Let's look at those. Number one, when sin abounds. Any place that there is sin abounding, you take a ministry, you take a church, you take a family, you take anything, sin abounds, there's going to come division. There's going to be major, major, major division. See, the blessing of God comes where there's unity, where there's increase, where there's faith. Listen, if God's exalted, if righteousness is exalted, then that's going to eliminate a lot of the root causes of division, right? All right, here we go. Here's the second one. Lack of prayer and weak relationships with God. If people don't stay in their prayer closet and on their knees, then they'll be more likely to react in the flesh. See, we need to learn that we can be led by the Spirit or the flesh. And you get to choose whichever one of those is stronger. How many of you have had something happen, you got angry about it? And instead of saying, I'm going to respond to this, I just react to it. There's a difference between reacting and responding. See, we should stop, think, pray, then respond instead of just reacting, because reactions don't always come out right. You end up saying things and doing things that you regret to do later. So a weak relationship with God will also help bring more roots of division. And here's the third one on that one. A focus on self is very high. These are root causes of division. When I place myself higher than others, when I place myself higher than God, when I place myself higher and lift myself up, my goals, my dreams, my ambitions, my wants, but I wanted it this way, and I wanted it that way, and I thought it could be like this. And I said, listen, you're putting expectations out here, and you will never have those expectations met. And you'll constantly feel disappointed over and over and over again. You've got to stop promoting self. I know it's 2024. I know there's social media galore. I know it's all about you and all about what you post. But sometimes it would be really nice to give God the glory for what's happened. To give God praise, to say, you know what? I thank God for what he's doing in my heart and in my life. Instead of saying, look at me, look at my career, look at my car, look at my stuff. Because it ain't always about that stuff. You know, it's about what Christ is doing in me. My purpose and your purpose is to let God do what he wants through his vessels. So he can get the credit and he can get the glory. The Bible says vain is the glory of man. And so sometimes vanity is when we puff ourselves up, when we get high and mighty, we get arrogant, and we think we're all that. And so when we think about ourselves before we think about Christ, that's a problem in the Christian world. That is a cause for division and strife. All the denominations, all the fighting, all the infighting. I mean, just take a look. I mean, we got one big example right here. Driscoll versus Lindell. You know James River Church, you know the stripper pole, Alex Magala, you know that he climbed the pole, he had the sword in his throat, he swallowed the sword, he's a strong man, he's showcasing his strength, and as cool as that might sound, it has no place in the church. It has no place in Scripture or in biblical things, and it's not going to help grow a man's faith. So why was it there? Driscoll came in. I'm not attacking anyone. I'm simply saying this is not right. Well, then it turns around. Lindell is over here airing out every text message that has ever been texted between Mark and him and Mark and his sons. And they pretty much built an entire sermon around saying that now Driscoll should repent for telling us to repent. How about we do this? How about we do this? I got a crazy idea. All right. Now just hear me out. All right. Just one second. I got a good idea. It just came to me. What if everybody got on TV? What if they made a video together and they all repented together? I mean, do we have support for that in the KTF studios? Anybody? Yeah, I think we do. I think we do, right? Put the clapping hands in the comments right now if you would agree with that. You know, just get together and say, you know what? Regardless of what happened, let's just all repent of anything in our hearts, anything that we said, anything that we've done, because now it's a crap fest. And now it's all over social media. Now every influencer, every digital creator, everybody's talking about it. It's blah, 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 division, division, division. And I get it. It's sales, man. It's good for content. But let me say this. It's not good for the kingdom. And it's time that we do more for the kingdom than we do for hurting, blaming, and causing division in the church. Amen. I say a great big amen right there. There's so many scriptures, so many things that I could bring and throw in here, but we would be here for hours and hours and hours. So tell us what you think about the podcast today, about division and how we can stop it, how we can end it. I believe a praying church is going to be a conquering church. So let's continue to pray, and let's do that right now. Let's do that together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray division will die. Lord, I know there's going to be disagreements, God, but truly the spirit of division that will rip up a church, God, and destroy families and even pastors getting hurt and quitting and leaving the ministry, God, this is wrong. And so help us, God, to be on the same level, as the Bible says, to be of the same thoughts, the same heart, the same mind. God's for the same mission, and that's to lift up Jesus Christ and to see souls saved. Lord, I pray if there's any division in my heart, any separation between me and any person, God, Lord, in the kingdom, I pray, Father, it's eliminated now. I pray, God, you help every person to see, open their eyes now to see if there's something they need to forgive someone and let it go. If there's somebody they need to actually just call on the phone or send them a text, God, help them to make things right. If there's division, if there's any of this separation between people, God, help us to unite before it's too late, and help us to win more people to Jesus every single day. Let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, not see our division, but see our good works. And so we declare this right now. We pray this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer with me. I hope that we came in agreement today, because I believe agreement is powerful and angels are being put to flight right now. Thousands upon thousands are going out right now from the throne of God to do the work of God for the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm Pastor Shannon. Thank you for being here with us on the KTF podcast from wherever you're watching or listening from. I'm reminding you to keep the faith to the finish line.